I'm Dr. Kathy O'Neill, and in this episode of Colorado's Cure podcast, we'll be talking about oral ketamine for the treatment of pain. Our goal is to decrease the use of opioids for pain to combat the opioid epidemic in our communities. Ketamine has been around a long time, and the IV form has been used for years in anesthesia. There is also some data that IV ketamine could be used for depression. It is also used orally in some chronic pain clinics. Here to discuss ketamine with me is pharmacist Rachel Duncan. Rachel, thanks again for joining me. And how does ketamine work?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kathy. Ketamine is a non-competitive, reversible inhibitor of the NMDA receptor, and that's the main mechanism that we're concerned with for pain. Ketamine also acts, though, at the mu opioid receptor, the GABA receptor, among others. So it really has multiple different mechanisms for pain.
Okay. I know that it's usually used IV, but we are going to try to use it orally. What can you tell me about that?
There is minimal data on oral dosing. However, it has been used in some pain clinics. On the inpatient side, it has specifically been studied in those patients with complex regional pain syndrome. The oral route will allow for easier administration in certain situations, such as think about your patients without IV access. The oral will also last longer than the IV formulation. Oral ketamine has a lower bioavailability due to the significant first pass effect, which also means that the side effects we typically associate with IV administration are experienced at a much lower rate. The oral dose we are recommending should cause less of the dissociative side effects that folks often associate with IV dosing. Lastly, oral is actually given as an IV formula that is taken orally and mixed with sweet drink due to bitter taste. So one thing to note is that there is no commercially available oral formulation. We will actually be using the IV formulation and giving it orally.
Well, that should make it easier for the hospital. You order just one formulation. But when should we use it?
The Colorado's Cure guidelines recommend oral ketamine as third-line therapy for musculoskeletal pain, specifically for those patients with complex regional pain syndrome. It should only be used after the patient has failed first and second-line therapy, such as scheduled Tylenol and ibuprofen, lidoderm patches, a muscle relaxant, gabapentin, topical agents, and non-pharmacologic therapies like heating pad, ice, mobility, and PTOT. The point here being, all of these things should have already been tried and be kept on if you decide to use oral ketamine. So if the provider chooses to use the oral ketamine, it should be in addition to the scheduled first and second line therapies, and it should be the first agent removed from the plan once pain is controlled. The initial dosing recommendation is 25 to 50 milligrams orally every 8 hours as needed. If the patient is finding significant relief, it is certainly reasonable to schedule doses and can be increased in frequency up to every 4 hours, as well as have an increase in the dose. We really recommend not to exceed 1,000 milligrams orally in a 24-hour period. And if you're even approaching that much, I would encourage you to really rethink the effectiveness of the therapy. Now, like I mentioned before, oral ketamine is not commercially available, which means there needs to be a plan in place to taper it off completely before the patient can be discharged. Like opioids, ketamine should not be abruptly stopped if the patient has been on it for greater than 72 hours and has been getting scheduled increasing doses. A taper prior to discharge to avoid withdrawal effects is recommended. It's reasonable to cut the dose in half each day until it can be safely discontinued. For example, let's say a patient has been getting significant effect for the past 3 days at a dose of 50 milligrams every 6 hours. The next day, I would go ahead and decrease it to 25 milligrams every 6 hours, then 25 milligrams BID, and then off.
Okay, and that sounds like a reasonably quick taper. So what kind of monitoring do we need, and what kind of side effects can occur with ketamine?
Initially, vitals should be checked 1 hour after the first oral dose, then every 4 hours. And I think most nursing staff is doing this for all of their patients, especially those that are already getting pain medications. Although the risk of respiratory depression with oral ketamine is incredibly low, the patient should be on pulse oximetry in order to monitor oxygenation. In patients that are already on opioid therapy, the provider should consider lowering the opioid dose prior to starting oral ketamine to avoid respiratory depression. If the patient experiences an acute change in vitals or intolerable psychomimetic effects, just stop the ketamine and consider administering a low-dose benzodiazepine, such as lorazepam or diazepam. Now, what do those psychomimetic side effects look like? These can include hallucinations, anxiety, vivid dreams, and dysphoria. Although remember, since we're giving it orally, we really don't expect to see these side effects to the extent that we would see if we were giving it IV. Cardiovascular side effects include tachycardia, hypertension, and possibly even myocardial depression. And then other CNS side effects include things like tremors, tonic-clonic movements, and sedation.
Rachel, those side effects sound a little frightening. So what patients are candidates for using ketamine for pain?
Yeah, because of the side effects that we just mentioned, obviously not all patients are appropriate for ketamine oral therapy. Remember, it's last line therapy for musculoskeletal pain in the guidelines. Contraindications and cautions that I would tell providers: really avoid the use if patients have any history of seizures, psychosis or PTSD, or poorly controlled hypertension, heart failure or arrhythmias, or even a recent stroke. If you have a pain service in-house, I always tell providers that an order for ketamine oral therapy should be concomitant with a consult to your pain service, as they are going to be more appropriate to be treating that complex of a pain patient and also more familiar with who's appropriate and who's not. And then, Kathy, I always tell my providers, if you have any concerns or questions on if that patient is the right candidate for using ketamine for pain, go ahead and call your pharmacist and just make sure you're not missing anything.
Right. Rachel, that makes a lot of sense. We should use all our resources. That includes the pharmacist and the ED docs who've been using IV ketamine. And speaking of IV ketamine, due to the use of IV ketamine in the ED and for anesthesia, is there anything else that you can tell us about the use of IV ketamine?
Sure, Kathy. Well, the inpatient guidelines don't recommend IV ketamine, as there's really a lack of literature to support it for the five specific pathways. We understand that there may be instances where providers may want to use it. For example, if a patient is strict NPO or has a mixed bag of diagnoses, it may be appropriate for that patient. In that case, it's important to understand that IV use of ketamine looks completely different than oral use. It's critical to start low. We recommend trying an IV bolus dose at about 0.2 milligrams per kilogram, which should be given a slow IV push, i.e. over 5 to 10 minutes at least. So when I say slow, I mean actually slow to avoid the psychomimetic side effects we discussed earlier. If that seems to give the patient significant relief, an infusion can be started at 0.1 milligrams per kilogram per hour. Due to the short half-life of ketamine, repeated IV boluses aren't typically optimal. An infusion is a better way to go. Again, if you decide to use IV ketamine, it is important to understand that the dosing for pain is completely different than the dosing for sedation. Sedation doses are typically between 1 to 2 milligrams per kilogram, almost 10 times what we're using for pain. Always keep boluses less than 0.3 milligrams per kilogram and keep infusion doses low based on your hospital's protocols.
Great. Rachel, thank you so much for that information. There is one last thing I do want to emphasize. As you said, ketamine is a Schedule 3 drug with potential for abuse. It should not be prescribed at discharge. If it has helped the patients in the hospital, then they should be referred to a chronic pain specialist.
Sure, I think that's a great question, Kathy. I'd just like to emphasize that the inpatient hospitalist guidelines do not recommend IV ketamine, as there's really a lack of literature to support it for the five specific pathways that we looked at. However, we do understand that there may be instances where providers may want to use it. For example, if a patient is strict NPO or has a mixed bag of diagnoses, it may be appropriate for that patient. I would encourage you in those cases to consider reaching out to your pain service if you have one in-house, or even anesthesiology, just to make sure that you're using it appropriately. In this case where you do consider using it, it's important to understand that the IV use looks completely different than oral use.
Wonderful. Rachel, thank you so much.